everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. And my guest today is Darren Dennison, who's the founder of Octris. Darren, welcome to Wisdom Chat. Thank you very much for giving up your time to come and chat with me. Would you like to just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and your organisation?
Sure. Hi, my name's Darren Dennison, and I'm, as mentioned, the founder of Octris. My background is finance for 20 years, capital markets, working for banks, things like that, consulting generally, project management, program management. And most recently, back in 2017, I was working for a world top 10 interdealer brokerage, and they were working on something called MiFID II, a very exciting piece of European legislation, 1.7 million paragraphs in length, according to the Financial Times, just a small thing. And we had to put this live by 2018. We'd had 7 years to build up to it, but now the last 3 months, mad scramble. So I was called in to do that. And as I was doing that, a couple of things about this legislation stuck out for me. One of the key things that I really liked the idea of was transparency. Because the financial sector, you've got data, like trade data, for example, and lots of firms make lots of money from this. For example, one exchange quoted me when I inquired about getting hold of the data, $50,000 per month. One exchange. There are 600 exchanges across Europe and the UK. So you can imagine the cost of getting market data, a complete European overview, astronomical. But anyway, they make a lot of money from this. This legislation was about making this transparent so that private investors or smaller operators in the sector could have the same sorts of insights that big mega banks paying millions a month for this sort of data had, a more equal footing. And it was also about things like reserves. How resilient are these banks in the event of another crisis like 2008? Are they going to go poof and take everyone's savings with them? Or do they actually have enough reserves to cover this sort of stuff? But MiFID was about, one of the key things was transparency. 4 years on, there's still not a great deal of transparency, to be honest, because there's just too much vested interests. For an interested listener, there's something called consolidated tape, which is essentially data for all of the EU, published at a reasonable price. And the States has three consolidated tapes. Europe doesn't have one at the moment, neither does the UK. But there's likely to be a tender later on this year. And one of the things Octris wanted to do, we believed in that transparency vision. We really liked it. We love data. I'm from a technical background. I like playing with things like that. We wanted to make this stuff available to anyone and everyone. So what we did, we built something to gather this data, which is hidden on a lot of these financial institutions' sites so that they can go, yeah, we comply with the transparency law. Look, and actually it's going to be really arcane and difficult to get at. We take that data. We put it in a big database and we publish it in as close to real time as we can. And we put that on our website about 2 years ago, actually, free of charge. And within 24 hours, one of the largest finance firms in the world, we had a call from a guy who normally stands in front of Congress and Senate. what are you doing with all this data? Where are you going with that? Because he recognized that suddenly if this data was available free, as we were doing, or cheaply, their business models, where they make hundreds of millions a year from providing this data, have just evaporated overnight. And of course, it also enabled people who didn't have access to this data, for the first time, they could have access to the data. So we were making it free of charge. It really upset some people. And actually, we're going to re-enable that service now. We had it on our site for about a year, but we're going through a funding round in about 2 weeks to try and grow that. We want to push that out more. We believe in the transparency. And we're going to make that available free of charge to anyone and everyone who wants it. When I say free of charge, it's going to be a nominal fee. It'll be about £1, I think, a month or something like that. Because, hey, it does have to run on some hardware and it does cost us some money. And we don't have any money, which is why we're going into a funding round. But yeah, so one side is we really want to push that transparency side of the legislation. And the other thing we noticed was the big players in the sector that provide regulatory solutions, they're not very good. We had seven years to get ready for this thing. And with 3 months to go, I was working for this large brokerage, as I mentioned. We were getting phone calls from people that we'd contracted to provide solutions. And it was, oh, yeah, that won't be there. oh yeah, just calling you to let you know that this bit won't be there, and oh yeah, that bit, that won't be there either. And we had to roll our own, essentially, a lot of the stuff that we did, stuff we'd been promised. And I just thought, how hard can it be? So Octris is there to provide regulatory solutions for the financial sector, reporting, things like that. But as I mentioned, around that is data, and in particular, the transparency data. And I love the idea of the little guy being able to have access to the same sort of stuff that these big banks have. And yeah, it's just, I want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, in some respects, I know we were having a chat earlier and we mentioned, for example, Philip Hammond, and he was the one who sort of introduced the open banking regulations back in 2018. That whole, the whole regulation there was to open up data. I know it was on the consumer side, but the idea of making things more transparent is certainly there, and the rhetoric is there. But I get partly what you're saying with regards to the approach. That first of all, the regulations, it's like walking into a library, volumes upon volumes. So, you know, we love making things difficult, don't we? Even though we want to create something that's going to benefit an awful lot of people and organisations. And then secondly, you know, when we're actually applying something, there's one of two things that tends to happen. One is we race ahead, apply it without any thought regarding the unintended consequences, or we, because we know what the consequences are, and you alluded to it earlier in terms of, okay, this might affect our revenue, we slow it down. And it becomes very frustrating, and, you know, you're constantly sort of knocking on the door. But you said you were going to do, yeah. Oh yes, but something else has cropped up. We need to make some changes here. We need to check this out first. And I suppose at the end of the day, the general person in the street, when they're making decisions about, you know, every, not just everyday money, but also their future and their future investments and so on, want to know that the decisions being made about it are being made from good, solid, strong data that gives them that reassurance. I'm going in the right direction. Is that kind of roughly, you know, in terms of how I've sort of introduced that part, and we're talking about transparency.
Regarding financial firms, for example, advising people and giving advice, we clearly saw in 2008 that there was massive conflicts of interest. So a lot of these institutions were advising clients to get stuff that they knew was rubbish. They wanted it off their books, and they knew it was going to go boom, and they just wanted rid of it. And there was this massive conflict of interest. Now, I have to say, since 2008, I've seen major changes in the sector. I've worked for massive global banks, large consultancies, and market abuse, for example, is being taken very, very seriously now, and strides are being made for consumer protection in that area. But talking about what we just mentioned there, the regulations and firms doing stuff or not doing stuff, for me, the regulator needs to be doing more. It's great having a set of laws. Fantastic. You've written all these great laws that look lovely. Text is wonderful. Lawyers obviously read those. Nice tick. Lovely. But it's no good if you don't enforce them. We're 4 years now after this transparency regime, and MiFID II, the largest piece of legislation to hit the sector in Europe for the past few decades, went live. And I'd estimate that we've got less than 5% compliance with the transparency regime. Technically, it's a lot higher. But if the purpose was to be transparent rather than ticking the boxes, do I comply with this legal sentence here, then transparency has not been achieved. As ESMA, the European Securities and Markets Authority, the people overlooking this whole thing, if you go on their website, there's an article on consolidated tape from the 25th of November last year. They actually mentioned that there's no, it's not fit for purpose at the moment. And they're pushing for this transparency, but it needs enforcement. There was a number of consultations. Do you think we need to clarify this rule or that rule? Do we need to? No, the rules are there. They're clearly written. Just enforce them.
Right.
Because until you enforce them, a firm's not going to spend money to comply with it. Because what are the consequences of not doing it? If everyone else isn't doing it, there's no reputational damage.
Yeah. Just to ask you, Darren, do you think that when I've looked at the regulations, say for example, white papers coming out just before you know something's brought to bear on us, and you're looking through the information. I've had this conversation with the Information Commissioner's Office about the ambiguity of the wording. And the excuses then that are made, and I mean that in the best way possible when I say excuses. Sometimes people are not purposely making excuses. They are genuinely trying to work out, well, what does this actually mean? Or what does it mean for us? And I said to the Information Commissioner's Office, I said, can you not be a bit more prescriptive? So it's the same for the Financial Conduct Authority. Can we not, or the Prudential Regulation Authority, can we not be more prescriptive and actually assist organisations, speed up the process of applying these rules and regulations? No, we can't do that. You know, they've got to interpret it according to... And I'm just thinking, you know, when they use words like reasonable... You know, he's like, what's reasonable to you and reasonable,
a reasonable
to me?
Commercial basis. Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah,
and that's actually the crux of this whole problem around this so-called consolidated tape. And that's why we don't have one yet, 4 years in, because the legislation as it stood, it was just impossible for a firm to get that data from the current data sources at, say, 50,000 a pop each month from 600 different venues.
Yeah.
And package it in such a way that they could make any money from that, because it was impossible to get the data at a reasonable price. But it was just never defined what that was. But you're absolutely right about the ambiguities. Different firms will have different interpretations on different things. And of course, a lot of these firms hire very skilled lawyers to make it say whatever they want it to say, really, in a lot of cases, to tweak it towards their existing business models. And when you call the FCA for clarification, as you say, they're not really, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. They don't want to get involved with telling you exactly the nuts and bolts of how to do things, to the point where I would go so far as to say they actually sit on the fence, in my opinion. They just sit on the fence there, and they just don't want to get involved or give that guidance.
Yeah, I think the one thing I've observed is it's a little bit like the... I suppose the American style of, you know, suing when something goes wrong, and nobody wants to be on the receiving end of that, and not even the regulator. But the trouble is, it doesn't help us. And when you're actually wanting that clarity, because you actually want to, rather than tick a box, do the right thing, make sure that your organisation is doing the right thing, or you as an individual are doing the right thing. And yet you've got this ambiguity. It's quite challenging, and nobody wants to be on the receiving end of some lawsuit, you know, for whatever reason. But yeah, even on the consumer finance side, it's the same issue there, although it has progressed significantly. The whole issue of transparency being really important, and also the issue of ensuring that people are meeting said requirements, that they're not just ticking a box. And I think that's for any listener to have that kind of reassurance, but also an understanding. Well, like for example, Darren, you mentioned about making the data freely available. And as you've rightly said, there's an awful lot of revenue to be made from selling data. They say that it's the next, what was it? It's like water is to humanity. The value that data holds, and yet it's actually that data that we need access to. I mean, what are your thoughts in terms of the way forward in our present climate and what the future holds? What do you think's really going to happen, or what do you perceive could happen, and what will the landscape look like?
I think regarding data and transparency, which is the context I look at data through in the financial sector through, I think it will increase. The law is there now. It has to be made freely available, trade data. It has to be published free of charge, machine readable after 15 minutes. people aren't doing it at the moment, but it's going to happen.
Yeah,
that's the direction of travel. And certainly in the current climate where you've got outrage at oligarchs and their billions and wealth, and we had the rage at the banks after 2008.
Yeah.
There's not a public will to just carry on as we were. There's not that will there. So there's political pressure drives this legislation. It's political pressure more than anything. And politicians know that being soft on the banks and letting them do whatever they want is not the way to win votes with an angry public that's in difficult times at the moment and has been for a while. So the legislation is going to continue coming thick and fast. And at some point, the stick from the regulator will come out. Yeah. I'm very disappointed with the FCA in the UK and how they've approached enforcement around MiFID II and transparency. I'm extremely disappointed. But I can only hope that at some point they get serious about the claims, about their claims for what they want for the industry.
Yeah.
That they want consumer protection. They want information to be available. They want the banks to comply with this legislation that enforces all of that. Well, get on with it then, lads. Do your jobs. Enforce.
Yeah, exactly. So last thought then, Darren, for anybody who may be, say, a little concerned at the moment and perhaps would like to, you know, check things out. What would your advice be to them? Where could they go to sort of get a greater understanding of what's happening and what's needed?
That's a pretty wide question.
on
what? On trade data? They could check out Octris in a few months. It'll be freely available on our website, www.octris.com. But on legislation and what's coming out of the EU and enforcement of transparency, for example, they could ESMA's website, ESMA being, as I mentioned, the European Securities and Markets Authority.
Yeah.
They produced a paper on the 25th of November. Actually, it was the European Council, I think, but ultimately it winds up with ESMA. So I think it was a European Council document, and it was about capital markets, and it covered there was a section on MiFID, and they were their thoughts on transparency and how it could be improved and what could be done. That's the thinking of the European Union at the moment, and the UK is aligned with that legislation exactly right now.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Darren. That's been very interesting. And for anybody listening to the conversation here, do check out ESMA and also just keep an eye out on the whether it's the news or the FCA or the PRA. Website, you'll certainly get information there. If you do have any questions at all for Darren, by all means contact Darren direct through his website. Just tell us the web address again, Darren.
Sure, it's www.octris, which is OKTRIS.com.
Excellent. Or Aurum Gold, ltd.co.uk. And so if you do have any questions, do get in touch. And thank you very much, Darren, for giving up your time and chatting with me. Great.